This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. My name is Jayant Sriram and I'm your host for today. In this episode, we're discussing various issues around vaccines, why there's been a vaccine shortage in the country, why emergency approvals have been given to new candidates, and some data from the states with regard to vaccination. I'm joined today by The Hindu's Deputy Science Editor, Jacob Koshy. Jacob, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, my pleasure.
Right. So just as I outlined, a few issues to get into. So firstly, the news of the past 1 week has been that we are, despite our initial projections several months ago, actually facing a vaccine shortage. Many states have reported this. Hmm. So what are the kind of underlying reasons for why the planning on this has seemed to be so bad?
Okay. So the narrative over the past several months since January, when we started vaccination, was that, India is a leader in terms of vaccines administered. It is still the number three country in terms of the daily doses of the total number of vaccines it is administered. Nearly, 11.1 crore vaccines have actually been administered so far since January. And so in terms of just sheer numbers, it's been very good. And India's actually been among the fastest to actually deliver these number of doses, so to say, and ranks along with the United States and China in terms of administering these doses. But however, the comparisons are actually made in terms of what percentage of the population is being, is actually able to receive these vaccines. And by those counts, India is lacking very severely. It is so far, as of today, only managed to inoculate about 7% of the population with one dose. Now, the reason behind this pace actually, stems down to kind of how India planned for its vaccine rollout. Much of this planning really happened around January, when India actually gave emergency use authorization to both Covaxin as well as Covishield. That time, the number of cases, the decline had been going on since September. India seen a decline in the number of daily cases, and January was pretty much the stage when the cases were really coming down extremely low. And that time India took a call, as did many other countries, and following WHO guidelines that it must be healthcare workers and frontline workers who must be prioritized. It was always known that vaccines, even though there are many manufacturers and many kinds of vaccines, by the time the vaccines are actually cleared and tested, it would take many months for the actual supply to smoothly kick in. But India did plan it out by prioritizing special groups, and at some point it only really planned to reach out to a large fraction of the population by only around July or August. It is only around March, around the middle of March, that there is this sudden second wave that is very significantly started to show up. This really wasn't in the planning. There were many modelers, and India had relied on modeling by eminent mathematicians who basically said that given how the trajectory of corona cases was since September, it would pretty much extinguish itself out by February. Now, this turned out to be a kind of fatal miscalculation, because by March, you're seeing an unprecedented second wave. Today, nearly 1.8 lakh cases are being added every day. And this is something that I think that has caught the government unawares. Because of this, there has been a kind of sudden demand per se among the public in general for vaccine. That has been the narrative as to why is India not really allowing everybody to get vaccinated. This question started. Because you must also remember that around January, February, India decided to really play upon its image of being the sort of pharmacy and the vaccine manufacturer of the world. So in around right. The 8 crore vaccines that were distributed around March, nearly 6 crore were actually given to other countries. And while a fraction of this, about 1 crore odd, was as part of goodwill, helping out countries that were really small and, were extremely poor, a substantial number of them were due to the Serum Institute of India's commitment to international consortiums such as COVAX. And these were actually contracts. Serum Institute of India, at the end of it, is a private player. It is not a public sector unit wherein, you know, the right. government can really just marshal its resources to produce vaccines only for India. The government, as well as the MEA, the Ministry of External Affairs, really wanted to highlight upon this concept of vaccine diplomacy. And there was a lot of narrative about how the United States and the UK, in spite of being makers of, you know, the vaccines that are now being used all over the world, were extremely selfish about it. That is, most of these countries very clearly said that they would fully vaccinate their populations entirely first and then consider giving it to other countries. But India could not afford this. For some reason, India, in spite of being a producer, a maker, and having the manufacturing capacities, somehow did not plan or did not anticipate. We will never know that really clearly. That, you know, there would be this sudden spike in demand.
Right. So, yeah, I'm not going to touch on the vaccine diplomacy aspect. I think that we've covered earlier also, but that's a really interesting point that you raised. Mm-hmm. Just one other point that I wanted to pick up on was this thing about manufacturing capacity. So, exactly what was the situation? I mean, we approved two vaccines. One is Covishield and the other is Covaxin.
Yeah.
So, did they not actually have, at that point, enough manufacturing capacity to, you know, why did the states suddenly start saying that they were running into shortages? So, at that level, was it not planned at all?
So, there was some amount of planning. The thing is, Serum Institute of India said that, you know, it has a capacity of 60 to 65 million, million doses a month. Its plan was to increase to 100 million doses per month. It had negotiated a price with India where, you know, a certain number of vaccines, like about, I believe, 100 to 200 million doses would be sold at the rate of $3. And it would sell its remaining vaccines at a much higher profit margin to other countries. Thing with India is India did not had only placed orders for, from what I understand, about 100 to 200 million doses. And given the population and size of India, this is actually a very minimal amount. Then we come to Covaxin. Covaxin, too, had a planned capacity of about 12 million doses a month. I mean, it said that at some point it would expand to about 150 million odd doses within, within July or August. Now, again, all these projections were made in around January and February. But then there was a fire in Serum Institute of India's, one of its upcoming facilities. That time it said that the fire would not really affect it. But now Adar Poonawalla has been saying that the fire has affected the firm's manufacturing abilities. So in general, the number of doses that we had per month was 65 to 70 million doses a month. And given that, you know, India was at some, you know, on some days India would do 2 million, some days India would do 4 million. I mean, these were stocks that would that were good only for about 13 to 14 days, you know, and that would also require extremely good planning. It does not really factor in for the fact that there would be this massive second wave coming and there would be a huge demand among, all adult Indians to, you know, to have doses available. India, for some reason, never really made any deals with any foreign vaccine company. Now, technically, you could say that Covishield, though it has been marketed as an Indian vaccine, is not an Indian vaccine. It is an Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, just made by a manufacturer called Serum. So, in one sense, right. It actually is a foreign vaccine. It's only Covaxin that is an entirely indigenous vaccine, but its capacity is extremely low. I mean, just so has to be insignificant. Out of the 100 vaccines that are inoculated in India today, about 90 to 91 are Covishield.
Right. So essentially, what that sounds like is that, okay, though we technically have two vaccine candidates, we were basically betting very big on one, which is Covishield. Mm-hmm. And as you said, we didn't really sign too many deals.
Yeah,
but you know, most of the vaccines that were supplied were basically Covishield. So of course, then now we've approved a whole bunch of other vaccines, including the Russians, Sputnik,
We.
And, you know, there could be more coming along the way, I suppose. Maybe Johnson & Johnson first is in the line. Now, I just wanted to ask you, why did we not sign these deals? Because earlier on, very early on when the vaccines were being developed, I remember that Pfizer did apply for an emergency use authorization. So what happened to that, for instance?
So what is regarding Pfizer, while they did apply for emergency use authorization, it is learned that, you know, they were not really ready to do bridging trials. They wanted to be able to import their made vaccines and supply directly to India. But that time, the Indian regulators weren't too inclined to that. They wanted them to do the bridging trials. Sputnik V has a tie up with Dr. Reddy's labs, you know, and it has also signed up with four or five other Indian manufacturers. Now, all of this is very fine, but again, we do not know how many of those doses are going to be available to Indians. We do not even know, you know, at what cost will it be available. Will the government be a buyer just like it has been a buyer of the Covishield and Covaxins? All of those things are unclear. So again, why didn't India do it, sign these deals earlier? Because again, it's a benefit of hindsight. India probably would have, if it had known that the second wave would hit so badly. Also, India really wanted to, let's also face the other angle. I mean, all of these vaccines really cost. This is the most precious commodity in the world right now. And given the state of the economy that India is facing, it really does not have the financial muscle like, for example, the United States or the UK to actually buy enough quantities of vaccine for its 1.3 billion population, you know, in those numbers. So it is quite natural that it would expect, you know, its local, its local companies who are known to make vaccines cheaply to provide for the bulk of the vaccine load to keep prices low. So I would expect that maybe till about July, and this is what even Serum Institute of India says, till July, there are going to be some hiccups in terms of supply. But hopefully, if now India moves and ties these deals well, it will be able to attract more suppliers. Remember, companies like Pfizer and Moderna, etc., they already have supply deals tied up with several other countries. So now, for India to now come in at this point to attempt to try to sign a deal would be probably difficult because India would be pushed towards the end of the line. But we never know how these negotiations are done. I would also like to add that the center on its own says that there is no real shortage because it says that it is all up to how the states plan their doses, so to say. So that's another point in regarding how a shortage of vaccines really is being interpreted by states and the center.
Right. Yeah. No, I think I wanted to come to the states versus center aspect. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of just clarify one more thing, I think you raised an important point, which is that the fact that, you know, we have more choices now technically because these emergency use approvals have been granted, mm-hmm. does not immediately translate to availability because now we have to go out and strike deals for manufacturing.
Exactly.
You know, for a long time, the strategy was that India touted this kind of Atmanirbhar approach of, you know, making it, we're going to make everything in India type thing. But now deals have to be struck. And as you mentioned, these are deals that are going to be struck with private companies who have other obligations as well.
Exactly.
So is that basically going to be a period now of aggressive bidding? Is that what has to happen?
I really do not know because I do not know who are these bidders going to be. I mean, we do not know what deals have been struck between Dr. Reddy's and you know the Russian Development Investment Foundation, for instance, which makes Sputnik V. At the end of it, the way India's economy is structured, the government is going to play a central role. And it all depends on the interaction between government and businesses. The government will want to make a large number of doses that is required for the population within India, because that's the best way to keep costs low. And let's face it, it's one of the advantages that India actually has. It has the capability of being able to manufacture it, but it's just a matter of time. Remember, this was the same situation that we had with test kits last year. I mean, you know, we knew how to make kits. We had enough of scientific manpower to actually make the primers and to analyze, evaluate everything. But we didn't have the manufacturing supply line, like, for example, what China has or what several other countries have to increase things in scale rapidly and quickly. So the same hiccups that we saw then are the hiccups that we're seeing now. So once the supply lines kind of get together, I believe these deals should work out well.
Right. So just to finish off with the point that you raised earlier about how the center and the states, or rather how the center says that the states should be sort of rationing their supply of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So what is their point here in terms of, I mean, when they say there's not a shortage, it's just a question of allocation.
So the center,
So
the center basically says that we supply every state with about every 4 days, their stocks are replenished, so to say. And the stocks are, and it is up to the states to basically, you know, based on the number of doses that they have administered, the resident population that is, you know, that is eligible for the vaccine, the state must do a better job of ensuring that, you know, all these priority groups are first addressed. Now, the state, the center says that many states have still not inoculated, you know, substantial fractions of, you know, of their populations above 60. And this is, and even their healthcare workers and doctors, the healthcare workers and frontline workers were supposed to have been inoculated by early March itself. The center says, why aren't you doing these such planning better? On the other hand, the state says that, you know, the, you know, they are doing it as best as they can. But unfortunately, they had to shut down many vaccination centers. Couple of reasons. In some cases, there used to be vaccine hesitancy. There have been long days and months when people actually didn't turn up, you know, for vaccines, even though they were available. And now that suddenly this, a lot of people are turning up, they don't have enough vaccines to give them. In some states, the vaccine wastage is up to nearly 9%. Whereas in a state like Kerala, the vaccine wastage is 0%. So these, you know, local factors do have an important bearing in how. So the center says that it is giving out stocks in the right manner. So we don't know how that balance is playing out. But be that as may, we can't escape from the fact that, you know, the number of stocks that we have is barely good enough to last for 4 or 5 days. And let us say, you know, if states were actually to push muscularly ahead and, you know, do 4 or 5 million vaccinations a day, we would soon be running out of stocks extremely soon.
Right. Okay, Jacob. So we'll wrap up this episode there. And, you know, this has just been a sort of a brief explainer about some of the issues with vaccine supply and distribution. I think we'll sort of be returning to this topic, unfortunately, a few more times in the coming weeks. But thank you for joining us on this episode today.
Okay. Thanks.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.